Hey, everybody, it's me here, Michael Franti, on the Stay Human podcast. Man, we are super excited because we've got a new album that is coming out. It's called Work Hard and Be Nice. 17 songs, that's right, you heard it, 17 songs filled with optimism and stories about how we get through challenging times and still hold on to our humanity. We can't wait to get back out on the road with you guys, so stay tuned to all of my socials. You'll get the information first about when we're going to be touring next. In the meantime, enjoy all the songs on the album, Work Hard, Be Nice. You can Spotify it. You can stream it all over the place. You can download it on iTunes. You can even get the CD from michaelfranti.com. So check it out. Welcome to Michael Franti's podcast. This is the voice of the great Lucas Nelson, and he's an amazing artist who's been playing. How long have you been playing, man? I mean, you've had a lifetime of music, longer than most people have been playing, and yet you're kind of just getting started.
Just getting started. I've been writing songs forever, you know.
Yeah. And, tell me about that. When did you write your first song? Do you remember your first song?
Yeah, my first song, I was 10 years old, and it was called You Were It. And
it's, You Were It.
It was called You Were It, and it's actually a great song, and
do you remember
it? Yeah, it goes, but now I'm fine, all the pain is gone, I once had a heart, now I have a song.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you wrote that when you were 10?
I was young, yeah.
Whoa.
It was great. Dad loved it, and he put it on one of his records called It Always Will Be.
Okay. And you wrote it at age 10.
Yeah, I was young. Wow. Very young.
And so, let's talk about, so what was it like growing up in the Nelson household?
I grew up on the road, and I grew up on the road, and I was, it was like, you know, I never was in one place for longer than, you know, I've never ever in my life been one place for longer than 3 months.
Wow.
Anywhere.
Wow.
You know, the only time that I would stay anywhere at length was when I was in high school or college, and that, mm-hmm. you know, that was broken up in semesters.
Yeah.
And so I'd stay for the semester, and then I'd leave.
You go for the next
go,
semester.
And then I'd leave, and then, you know, like, if we had a break, I'd be on the road.
Yeah.
You know? So I've never in my life been anywhere longer than 3 months.
Yeah.
I calculated that.
I know it's like, that was just your life, and that's how you grew up, but is it a childhood you recommend for other people, or is it like something that you feel like...
I feel lucky because I've got... Not only are my parents successful, but they're really good parents, and my mom raised me really, really well, and my dad really raised me well by example, and by and I learned how to do this life right by dad.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I could the example he set on how to live life on the road was perfect. And
what would be if you could just say, like, you know, three things, like three golden rules for life on the road for any musician who's out there, what would they be?
I think stop drinking so much.
Word.
You know, like, just don't drink every night.
Yeah.
In fact, say no most of the time.
Yeah.
And every once in a while have a drink.
You know, and I say to people, because, you know, we've been through that, and, you know, almost every band has some kind of moment where there's some kind of substance abuse.
I had an issue when I was younger. Go ahead.
And what I was going to say is I always try to encourage my guys in the band, like, party as if you work in a regular job. You know,
right.
Like, everybody doesn't get up, go to, you know, out to a bar every night and get shit-faced drunk and then go to work.
Well, because for them, it's that one night.
Yeah.
For the audience, it's the one night to party.
When they do it.
And,
and
so they all want to take shots with you and everything. But if you do that every fucking night, you're going to be,
excuse my language. So you do it on, you choose one night every week or every couple weeks.
Exactly.
So you have a couple shots. But the rest of the time, you've got to be a student of your body.
Yeah.
You've got to really listen to
eat right. You know, you got to run or get exercise, do something.
Mm-hmm. Do something every day. So that'd be number two. So number two, one would be moderation.
Moderation.
Number two would be eat right and do something healthy.
Yeah. And I got to say, you know, keeping ganja in your life as a replacement for those kinds of things is really a great medicine.
Yeah.
Because it keeps you mellow, you know, and you want to be mellow on the road. You don't want to be too edgy.
Yeah.
So it's a great, like, kind of a road it's a remedy for the road.
I think that when you're on tour with a group of, you know, a band and a tour posse, extremes don't do well in a submarine.
Exactly. You're in a submarine.
And you're in a submarine with, you know, so 10 people in a tour bus.
I'll go weeks when I'm at home without smoking ganja just to clear myself out. But when I'm on the road, it really helps me to just pacify me while I'm traveling and just take the edge off. And then things don't bother you as much. And so you can kind of, you can smoothly get along, and if everybody's in the same page, then it really works.
Yeah.
And luckily, most of the guys in our band partake.
Yeah.
And so we're all kind of on the same level, and everybody's super mellow. And I think, you know, that's really, having that kind of balance on the road is really important. That's why we've been working for 10 years. You know?
How old are you now?
I'll be 29 this year.
And you've been doing it for 10 years. I mean, that... People, like a lot of artists, are just getting started at 29. So when you assembled this, your band, in your cast of characters, was it something that was just, you know, organic? Or were you these guys that have been playing with you and your family for a long time? Or?
Well, you know, no. I mean, I found a lot of these guys. We played with Neil, right, for the last couple years. And I met our drummer, who I started this band with, Anthony, who just walked by, actually. I met him at a Neil concert.
Oh, wow.
You know, and the vibe was like,
imagine what it's like for Anthony. Like, one day you're just at the concert, and then you meet Lucas, and then you are the concert.
Then you are the concert. It was like that for me, too. I didn't know Neil very well, you know. I knew Neil just from seeing him at Farm Aid every year.
Yeah.
You know, but we didn't hang out or, you know. And then once he got to know our music, then we became his band, and then we started jamming. And it was very, very cosmic, you know, how we met the band. You know, the band basically started, the name Promise of the Real comes from a Neil song from Walk On. Sooner or later, it all gets real. Some get stoned, some get strange. Sooner or later, it all gets real. Walk On. And I was like, oh, that's badass. I'm going to name my band The Promise of the Real.
Whoa.
You know, and then...
It's a great name.
Yeah.
You know what's great about it is that, I mean, it's great to hear the story behind it, but it's a name that is a name of mystery.
Yeah.
And that's what I like. It can be
whatever you want. It's a mantra for us.
Yeah.
For me, when I look at my band and I look at the name of my band, it reminds me that why I'm doing what I'm doing every day.
That sense of
purpose. And it's a mantra.
Keeping
it real. It's like I can say that, you know, oh, I promise to be real. I promise to be real. Every time I say my band name, I'm sending myself a mantra at the same time, you know.
Nice.
And so it's like, it's an energy thing, too. I want to keep us who we are forever. And
that's awesome.
And be, you know, it's like family. Willie Nelson and family.
Right.
He calls his band Willie Nelson and family.
Because it is.
And that's what it is, and it keeps it that way.
And it becomes that when you say it over and over again.
Yeah, it manifests.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. It's Michael Franti here on the Stay Human podcast. A few years back, my wife, Sarah, and I decided that we would start a nonprofit with the intention of bringing people with advanced stages of life-threatening illness, children and adults with special needs, and wounded veterans to see any live concert by any artist in any city in the world. And from that, Do It For The Love was born. If you have a friend or family member who needs music in that way, just write to us at doitfortheLove.org, and we'll make sure to get them out to see any concert in any city by any artist. Do it for the love, y'all.
That's why I didn't name my band the Butthole Surfers.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to know what those guys are doing right now.
They're a really great band. I love their music. But I didn't want that to be my mantra.
No, yeah.
And it was already taken by them.
Yeah.
Hey, so you've been touring with Neil for how long?
I've been touring with Neil for the last couple years. We were recording this year. He's kind of taking a little hiatus because we're recording, and he likes to write when he's home.
Okay. What have you learned from Neil?
Much, man. Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't go in this podcast. I mean, so much. Yeah. His attention to detail, his focus, his level of energy, just the, you know, the channeling that he brings to his performances and the way
Can you
feel.
Describe that when you say detail? What are the kinds of things that he obsesses over?
He pays attention to everything that's going on.
Yeah.
Every sound.
Yeah.
He's attuned to everything that's happening all at once in his whole career, in his business, in his love, in his love life, in his health.
Yeah.
He does Pilates every day.
Wow.
He's happy, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, he's just a guy that just that takes the world by storm, like a hurricane.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, I've never been more inspired, besides working with my dad. You know, because I think they're from the same ilk.
Yeah,
both of those guys.
Yeah, I can hear that.
Yeah, both in a different ways, they're the same. And and so it's nice. It's a nice transition.
You know, when I hear your voice and when I hear Neil's voice and when I hear your dad's voice, I hear this the voice of a storyteller. And it's not a voice of trying to sing acrobatics. You know,
right.
You're not trying to win the voice.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
You're trying to tell the story. And what tips do you have for somebody who's an up-and-coming writer in terms of storytelling and then using your voice as an instrument to tell that story?
Look. To me, a song is the most important thing you can have as a musician.
Yeah.
You know, a song that people can relate to.
Yeah.
You know, and you've got some great songs,
Thank you.
Know how it feels.
Yeah.
You know, to connect with a crowd to where they're singing along.
Yeah.
So lyrics and melody are super important.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you have a great melody, you don't have to over-sing.
Yeah.
You just say what you got to say.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't have as much of a melody, then you kind of got to then or the lyrics aren't that great, then you got to make up for it with some acrobatics.
Some smoke and mirrors, yeah.
Yeah, and I believe, I mean, look, there's a lot of successful singers out there who do that.
Yeah.
And that's their thing, but I think that to really hit the heart of a culture of people and really play music for as an art form and really express what's happening in your love and your life and your world and the world around you, and make a cultural statement about where you grew up and what you're living through at the time, you know, then I think that's less about vocal acrobatics and it's more about delivery and telling a story so that people believe it.
Yeah.
You know, because if you're singing about real shit, then that's what that you got to.
Yeah.
You got to hang on every word.
Yeah.
Every syllable has got to be meticulous. And I think that there's actually an acrobatics to that. It's an art form to sing like I don't know if you know J.J. Cale.
Sure.
I mean, he sings so soft like this, you know, but every syllable
every
is
syllable
exactly
counts.
The way he wants it.
As a guy, William Fitzsimmons, who I love, is the same way. He's just got this really
Mark
soft
Knopfler,
voice.
Mark Knopfler.
Yeah.
I mean, Petty, Tom Petty.
Yeah.
You know, he's got every
nuance.
Color of his voice down.
And it's his own thing. I mean, with Tom, you hear this sincerity and you hear this vulnerability.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing, you know.
But he hits the notes, man. That guy can sing.
Yeah.
He can. He's an acrobat.
Yeah.
It's not that he's not. He's just mastered the art of bringing both acrobatics and then subtle nuance together and delivery and storytelling to where he's become a character. He's like an actor.
Yeah.
He's like presenting this form, this extension of his ego that is the performer of who he is, of who his life was.
That's amazing.
You know,
that's a perfect description.
Yeah.
You know, when you write a song, do you ever finish a song? Or what is the indicator for you that it's a good song?
Oh, when I'm singing it to myself all the time, I can't get it out of my head.
Yeah.
Or when I, you know, you get a feeling like, oh man, that's touching me. You know?
Sometimes I cry.
I sing
a song back and I'll play it back and I'll tear up and I'll go, okay, this is
But that's
really...
just because we're big softies.
We are big softies. That's true. But I feel, you know,
no,
I feel
I've
it myself.
I cry
you know,
I
And then the other, there's no greater rush for me. Like, I can't imagine being an actor, you know, and I know a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Like, you go and you work on a film and, you know, you write a script and you put all this team together, director, you know, go on location.
Yeah.
You finish the film, you edit the film, and 2 years later, you're out promoting a film, and then you go to the premiere of a film and you show people the film once and you hope they like it.
Right.
And then it's like maybe they clap at the end, maybe they
don't.
I'll
tell you what, I'm just working on a movie with Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga. I produced and acted and did the music for the whole band did for this movie. And I like our hours better.
Yeah.
Oh man, they're there all day, every day, waiting around.
Yeah, and then you go in the editing room.
And then
you go,
it's grueling thing.
It's an amazing process.
It's a beautiful thing. Yeah. It's like incredible, especially when you have artists doing it. But it's just I can't.
But
I
it's
can't
different
believe
than
it.
Waking up in the morning and you write a song and then you go, hey, you know, I think I'm gonna go play this on stage right now.
Right. I gotta run.
Yeah, thank you for being here, brother.
I love you, Michael.
You gotta go play.
Yeah, it's good seeing you. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing all these amazing stories.
Oh yeah, this has been great. Yeah.
Lucas,
we'll have to do it again.
Where can people find you?
Oh, people can find me at lucasnelson.com, Lucas with a K, or Instagram, Lucas Nelson Official. Just remember, my name is spelled with a K, because that makes things difficult sometimes. L-U-K-A-S.
My name is Lucas Nelson.
Yes. Yeah, if you Google me, you'll find me.
So, all right, cool. Thanks, brother.
All right, see you later.
Hey everybody, this is Michael Franti here on the Stay Human podcast, and I've traveled all throughout the world and I've been to many inspiring places, and one of my favorites is Bali. I fell in love with its people and nature the first time that I came here in 2007, and at that time I had a dream to build a place that was dedicated to music, soul, and wellness. And from that, the Soulshine Bali Hotel was born. It's my boutique hotel located in the heart of Bali, surrounded by beautiful rice fields and the most incredible sunsets that you might ever experience. We do over 50 retreats a year, or you can just come here and spend a night on your own. So follow us on Instagram at SoulshineBali.